The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio.
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com. I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita, Tuolaka Ogno, Tuolapa Opono, Mosisetovo, Bahi Oho, Vihokeo, Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. Thank you, as always, for making us a part of your morning this morning. It's a What's Your Beef Wednesday, so be sure to tweet at us at Morning Rush Show, or you can call 877-377-6963 to give us whatever you're beefing with, or if you just want to make a general comment, we will take those too as well. Jodine Davenport, former Arkansas Razorback football player, tight end, played during the late 90s seasons and was a little bit a part of that transition from Danny Ford to Houston Nutt. He's going to be joining us around 7:32. So we'll talk to him also about the Burlsworth football camp coming up as well that he's going to be involved in. So really looking forward to that as well.
A couple great days with some guests. Chad Morris, Bobby Portis yesterday. So
Nick Mason. I mean, yeah, we're
Jodine Davenport today. Yeah. And Nick Mason.
Everybody gets lucky.
Yeah. Everybody's a part of it. Hey, by the way, did either of you guys stay up to watch the Missouri-South Carolina SEC tournament baseball game?
I didn't stay up. I stayed up. Yeah. Didn't everybody stay up to watch? You didn't, Nick?
I stayed. Well, one, I didn't know that was on, but I stayed
good
up to
deal.
Watch the NBA.
So you were scouting for tonight's game, I see. Yeah.
No, Western Conference Finals. Yeah.
2 a.m.
That one was late, too. So.
What? That one started when I should have been going to sleep.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, at our house, we got 2 days of school left. We got today and tomorrow, and that's it. So we can, you know, the fighting and the wailing and the gnashing of the teeth and all these things to get, you know, people under the age of 10 to go to bed. The fight will be over for 3 months or 2.5 in about 2 days. So it's great. But, yeah, at about 8 o'clock, you get them wound down, and you put the game on, and it's just heading started at 8.
Still the pregame.
Oh.
Listen, it started so late. When I went on my guide, I was like, wow, I thought there was a Western Conference game tonight. Guess not. No, Mr. Mason. You have to scroll forward another hour or two. And then when I saw what time it came on, I just looked, and I was like, oh, man,
and
it's going to be a long night.
In the Central Time Zone. Think if you were an East Coaster trying to do a 6 a.m. radio.
Catch the highlights in the morning. Mm. I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the West Coast.
Well, that's what I said about the baseball game down there at Hoover.
Yes, true.
South Carolina.
True.
I mean, catch the highlights.
But at least that one, it's like, it's not a good excuse because I still feel like there's got to be some way to alleviate something like that if you're playing a baseball game until 2 o'clock in the morning. But
when there's weather and there's delays, there's not much you can do if you're the SEC.
Yeah, I know.
And the last thing you want to do, it's much better to play till 2 a.m. than to say, we're going to wait till the next day.
And move everything back.
And move everything back.
Yeah, and again, I get it. It's just, man, you don't like seeing it. You don't like to sit there and stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning.
We have this, and it's in, we have this chronic ongoing complaint about the late starts of certain events because we get up in the 4 a.m. hour to arrive here at, well, for two of us in the 5 a.m. hour.
Yeah.
And and even if you have a normal job where you arrive, you know, 7:30, 8:30, whatever, at your job, 2 a.m. is too late anyway. You know,
2 a.m. is late for just about anybody.
Midnight is too late on a work night, school night, whatever you want to call it, for like the Western Conference Finals last night.
Yeah, being on the West Coast, I still watched it, though. I still stayed up because the thing is it was even a quote-unquote shorter game. by comparatively speaking.
Nick, would the game start a little bit earlier? If Houston ends up, now that the series is tied again, would the games theoretically start a little bit earlier in the finals if Houston wins that series?
Yes.
Yeah, they will.
Okay, so I found who I'm rooting for now.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes it real easy for me who I want to win two of these last three.
Yeah. I guess if them and Cleveland, if it was Houston-Cleveland, yeah. Yeah, I think Cleveland
also
is...
Because you're not, you know, it would make sense because Golden State out in Oakland, you're going to have to start the games no earlier than what would be 8 p.m. our time, or that would be... That's 6 p.m. their time.
And that's still...
Night, you can't start a game at 5 o'clock local
time.
That's
still fairly early, especially whenever you're out there, because... Once again, majority of the eyeballs that are watching the TV when Golden State is playing come from where? The West Coast.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, the thing is, this is a bigger complaint than even just this, because if you go back to the college basketball national championship game where, you know, it wasn't like you had to appeal to anybody. That game didn't start until 7:45. Same thing with the college football national championship. Didn't start until after 7 o'clock, 7:30. And it's just... They're trying to get all the markets, both coasts, everybody involved watching it. But, man, it just makes for what I think, if you're going to have a greater product than that, you got to have a better time than what is happening. People can't stay up that late.
Did you stay up?
Yeah.
What happened? I mean, I'm watching this thing. I'm up till about 10. Golden State has the lead. Like, well, you know, and then they kind of fought back in the game when it got into the 30s, got even again. And then Houston goes on to I mean – Why such the dramatic swings and outcomes in these games? How can you get blown out 40 one night, and the team that's minus 40 comes back to win the next? That's just
on the road.
On the road, that makes no sense.
I'm telling
you, there's nothing logical about what happened last night compared to what happened in the previous game.
Whenever you get down by 10 points, and I was saying this earlier, you just start to do things that you normally wouldn't do. And whenever Houston and really Houston controlled a lot of the game because Houston was up at halftime by 6 or 7.
But early in that game, they were down 10 or 12
from
a lot of the first half.
And though those things, whenever they started to force shots and force different things, those shots went in. Whereas the other day when they got beat by 40, whenever they got down by 10, they started to force things and those shots didn't go in, so then 10 went to 15, which went to 22, and now the game's over.
I mean, we've learned this, we know this, but we don't pay any attention to the first quarter, first half of these games, because you watch and you say, well, you kind of got things figured out when one team is up 12 or 15 early second quarter. Well, it's not going to be Houston's night.
Mm-hmm.
You go to sleep, you wake up, well, Houston wins.
Yeah.
What?
You can't even do that for the third quarter because it looked like Golden State was going to go on another tear in the third quarter.
We've always said the last 5 minutes are all that matter. I mean, to a point. I mean, when you get beat 40, obviously the last 5 minutes don't matter at all, but seems like that's the storyline. But this whole entire last couple rounds of the playoffs, there hadn't been a whole lot of close games. I mean, finally, these last two, we've gotten at least something worth watching.
Finally.
And a lot of it, too, is guys – they know that they have another game tomorrow. Yeah. And so...
I mean, last two, like, is in last night and then the Eastern Conference game the night before.
Right. Well, even whenever Cleveland was in Boston and they got down, what was that, game two, you could just tell that they mailed it in and said, well, we're going back to Cleveland. We'll win two in a row there. So let's just mail it in now. And then whenever they were down 9 or 10 with, like, 3 or 4 minutes left or 9 or 10 with... 6 or 7 minutes left, and ended up being 20-something. And so I think a lot of times, especially early on in the series, whenever a team knows that they can beat another team, they'll just mail it in and say, I'll come back tomorrow and beat them, or come back the day after and beat them.
Well, it's just fascinating, too, like in a game like last night, where I think honestly, the way that Golden State played at the end of the game was atrocious. I think some of the decisions they made were really bad.
I don't know what they were doing.
And that just shows you that a team that's probably used to winning at home, they think that, okay, we've been in this situation before. This means we're going to win.
Yeah.
It's almost like they just start making bad decisions and, you know, ending it the way that they did. And so I just didn't think, like, why didn't you call a timeout at that end of the possession? That one doesn't bother me as much. Obviously, hindsight's everything, because if KD or Klay Thompson makes the shot, then it doesn't matter. Yeah. But, like, you know, if you get an offensive rebound with under a minute to go, and you're only down by two, and then you have Steph Curry just go out and shoot a wild one off one leg three with 21 seconds left in the shot clock. Like, stuff like that was just kind of what I was like, oh, man, this doesn't look like a team that knew that. But I'm just happy because we got finally one, just one so far good game in the NBA Conference Finals. Just one. Just one that wasn't a blowout. Even though I may have preferred a blowout, because at least I could have gone to bed early last night instead of staying up. You know, maybe that was been the benefit. But yeah, it was a great game though. I'm glad I stayed up for it. I'm just hoping that the rest of them will be somewhat good. That was what I was expecting with this series between Golden State and Houston. Something like that every game.
It's gonna be interesting how these two teams respond, because Golden State definitely didn't think that they would be in this position. So they're going to have to make a few adjustments. They're going to have to do some other things. Like the end of game stuff that they had. Not only that, but Kevin Durant, I feel like he just froze up at the end.
Yeah.
Because he started to go to his left. He got ready to pass it to Klay Thompson. He ended up passing it and put Klay Thompson in a horrible spot.
Who you could tell he was injured. He wasn't 100%.
And then at that point, and that's when I thought Steve Kerr should have called a timeout. When Kevin Durant passed the basketball, as soon as he passed it,
Draymond was trying.
Yeah, and then, you know, and somebody has to get a timeout at that spot, because there was no way that Klay was going to get off a decent look. And then he ended up taking two dribbles and shooting some crazy shot that didn't even hit the rim.
First postseason loss for Golden State at home since 2016.
Wow.
And that was in the NBA Finals against Cleveland.
Well, because last year they went undefeated until the finals and then lost one game at Cleveland.
At Cleveland, yeah.
Whenever Cleveland hit 43.
Yeah, that was the only way they were going to beat them in that series. And then, when they were undefeated going up to this point, too. So that's another thing, too, is I felt like they probably just like, hey, we're at home, we're going to win. And that's a pretty impressive home record. And it just shows you the type of ball that they play, how the energy can really be fed off of it. But Houston didn't back down. Chris Paul played well. James Harden played well. And if you have those two guys playing well, you normally win if you're Houston.
Yeah.
So, but it was a great game. You missed a good one, Tommy.
I didn't miss all of it. Yeah. I saw most of the first half.
you saw a few highlights, I'm sure, in there, too. You saw.
I'm glad you watched all that South Carolina-Missouri game.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, that was the real barn.
This is going to be a day we got to have a nap to get ready for what will be a 9 o'clock baseball
game. I was actually going to ask you, if this is another game tonight, which it could be, where it goes that late between Arkansas and South Carolina, is there a way that maybe we can, like, do a pre-recorded show where we do one where Arkansas wins, and then another one if Arkansas loses, and then we just replay it?
We talked about that, and we figured out that's just more work than staying up.
It's a lot more.
Worth, yeah, that's just too much work.
Too much work than it's worth. Then we'll just stick with what we're doing.
Yeah. Hey, brought to you by Crabtree RV. Springtime means camping time. School's getting out, and you want to head over to Crabtree and get the perfect travel trailer, fifth wheel motor coach for your family's next outdoor adventure. Hit the open road in a new travel trailer, including their Salem travel trailers, with payments starting at $138 a month. And right now, they'll fix you up with 90 days payment free, so you can start enjoying your new or used RV today from Crabtree RV in Alma. They're next to the Cracker Barrel at exit 13 off of I-40. That's Crabtree RV, where your family's dreams come true.
Coming up next, more of the Morning Rush. Stay with us.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Spitting the most fire takes you'll ever hear all morning long. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Going to continue our conversation we had in the previous segment about Michigan going to South Africa next year. And should Arkansas do some similar things to try to appeal to the bigger recruits? We'll get to that. But first, this from Little Switzerland.
Yeah, if you're getting the kids out of school this week, looking for maybe somewhere to go for Memorial Day weekend or that summer week off that you've got planned in June or July, how about Little Switzerland Cabins and Chalets? Cabinsintheozarks.net is their website. You can see pictures. You can see all sorts of details about Little Switzerland Cabins and Chalets. It's 2.5 miles north of Jasper. Beautiful part of our state and the gorgeous mountains and Ozark Mountains. You can check out their outdoor activities that are all around them there. Birding, canoe rentals, elk watching, cave and cavern tours, plenty of swimming holes, perfect for these hot summer days we got coming up. Horseback riding, lots of stuff to do. They got barbecue pits there, picnic tables, lawn chairs, large fire ring, everything you need for your large or small group to have a great time at Little Switzerland Cabins and Chalets. Ask about group rates. Three cabins, two chalets that offer living rooms, dining rooms, game rooms, kitchens, fireplaces, satellite TVs. It's all there for you at Little Switzerland Cabins and Chalets. 870-446-2810 or online at cabinsintheozarks.net.
Michigan football team and Jim Harbaugh's heading to South Africa in 2019. This doesn't affect Arkansas in the slightest. So obviously, you know, you don't have to dive into what's going to be the trip. But I brought up the question of should Arkansas maybe consider doing things like this. Now, I don't know if traveling to South Africa is something that Arkansas wants to fit into their budget, because I'm sure it's very expensive.
Well, the basketball team does this once every 4 years. They'll go. They've been to Europe a couple times that in recent times I remember. They've been, I believe, down to Mexico to play.
Yes.
But every 4 years you get to take the basketball team on a, and it's always in like August, a preseason deal. So the basketball team at Arkansas has a little experience with this. But it's very unusual. And Michigan's the only school I've ever heard doing this in football.
Yeah, they've actually said that the other schools have reached out to Michigan to kind of just get an idea and how they organized a trip like this. But the reason I bring it up for Arkansas is because so many times we've all discussed it, everybody else has discussed it, national media has discussed it, the disadvantages that Arkansas has in recruiting compared to other SEC schools. We are all aware of it. We are aware that the in-state talent, they're going to have some good players, but it's not going to be consistent enough to field great teams. We know that they have to look outside of the state to try to bring in some big time players. And when it comes to recruiting, why doesn't Arkansas maybe do something like if Arkansas decided, and Chad Morris, we're going to organize a trip to go overseas just like Michigan did.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know where they'd go, you know, I mean maybe in Europe or somewhere. But they said, you know what, we're going to do it just like Michigan. Do you think at all that would move the needle or have any type of positive impact in recruiting? It wouldn't hurt them, but do you think that something like that at a place like Arkansas would garner the attention of a 4- or 5-star athlete that normally was not considering them at all?
No. And I think it'd be a waste of money if you're looking at it like that. Now, for the 3 stars that they're on and they're recruiting against other universities that are in a similar situation to them, it can move the needle on those guys. For the in-state kids that you could really get that information out to, and for the in-state kids who know the guys that are up there on the hill probably a lot better, or for kids that are at the schools of the current student-athletes at the University of Arkansas, maybe it could get their attention just a little bit. But whenever you're talking about guys who normally wouldn't look at Arkansas and that are getting offers from all these other top schools in the country, no. I think it'd be a huge waste of money if that's why you were going about it.
You're talking about spending well north of $500,000 and probably closer to $1 million to take a football team. Now, the question is, would it maybe make more sense to take your seniors-to-be or your juniors and seniors-to-be, your upperclassmen that need to be your leadership on a team, maybe not to Europe, but, you know, and they may do these things quietly already, but get away and go for a retreat, team building, you know, some kind of retreat away with your upperclassmen to bring them along. And then it's also kind of a reward and a sign of respect because you've hung around the program this long, you get this reward. I don't know if you can legally do that or not. I don't know all the NCAA rules, but I could see where that would be a benefit to a program like Arkansas where, hey, you're trying to develop leadership. We just had Chad Morris on yesterday talking about building some leaders for this team. Maybe who do you want to lean on in that kind of role? Well, you're upperclassman, right? That makes sense. You're not generally going to lean on a freshman or a sophomore. Maybe that would be kind of the in-between. I don't know if you can legally do that. You can only take half a team or part of a team, but I don't know what the NCAA rules are on that. But to me, that's how you would maybe go about initializing something like this if you're Chad Morris in the University of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Because Arkansas doesn't have an extra $1 million to throw away on something like this. Not that you want to consider it a throwaway.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have an extra mil. Yeah, you don't want to just throw away $1 million, but, you know,
to go on a trip.
Yeah, it's because, listen, we're talking about this as we're playing dumb with the NCAA and what would be against the rules and what would be okay. Because there's probably a book somewhere that's as tall as this building that has the rules and what regulations and policies about what you can and can't do when it comes to the NCAA. But I guess that's my whole thing, is that, you know, we talk about Arkansas and their disadvantages in recruiting. And if something like that, Nick, wouldn't help Arkansas at all in the recruiting in the long run, I don't know. I just feel like if you attempt to at least try it out, like, should they at least try it, I guess, and not to do it every time, not to just say that we're doing this, but try things like that. And again, it doesn't have to be a trip, but just try over-the-top, attention-getting type of things where you're talked about on ESPN, you have an article written about you, you're talked about on radio shows in the mornings across countries that normally wouldn't even talk to you about, or wouldn't even talk about Arkansas football. Give it a shot and see at least if it garners some type of positivity towards your program. I don't mind them trying it, but I agree with you too, where it's like, that probably won't get you that five star that you thought you couldn't get. That one trip just makes the difference either. I don't know, because I'm talking about somebody who hasn't been recruited in his life. I don't know a lot about recruiting. That's why I leave it up to Richard Davenport when he comes on. I'm like, hey, man, you just do, you talk about whatever you want to talk about, and I trust you. So I'm coming off of here like, as I don't know much about the recruiting, the inside stuff and what matters to kids. But I wouldn't mind Arkansas trying stuff like this, trying to be innovative when it comes to recruiting tactics, staying within the rules of the NCAA to be able to have some type of attention getting. Because right now, if you think about it, in the SEC, especially in the SEC West, we'll just limit it to that. Where's Arkansas ranking as far as the branding, excitement, the team that people like talking about?
I mean, towards close, the bottom.
Towards the bottom.
That has to do with winning four games, though.
Yeah. I understand
a lot of
that,
this,
too.
And not even that, but Arkansas won, what, 22 games over the last handful of years. And I think if Michigan was in the same spot that Arkansas was in right now, this probably wouldn't be as big of a story. But if you can win 8 or 9 games, and if you can have a big-time head coach who moves the needle, and you're trying to get over that hump, and you're right there towards the top, then it carries a different story versus a 4-win team trying to go out there and do it. And I don't know if I want Arkansas to do that right now, because then the dang record would keep coming up on the screen.
Yeah.
And it would. And they saying, well, the 4-win team, now they're going over here to Spain. Hopefully they can win 5 games the next year.
You know. And that's the point I want to get into next. Since Harbaugh started this trip, how many college football playoffs have they been to? 2? 3?
Yeah.
How many? Final
0.
4? 0.
They finish third in their division every year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, show me the direct tie between doing something unique and special and spending a whole bunch of money and how it translates to on-the-field leadership, on the field winning, on the everything you're trying to get out of. Why would you do something like this? Trying to build a family environment, team building, togetherness, leadership that equates into wins. So far, I would say Michigan has zero dividend on this.
Yeah, they've underachieved. If you consider the talent and the amount of money that they're paying Jim Harbaugh, for sure. They've
underachieved. And then extras like this.
Yeah, and with
this is like an extra bowl trip. I mean, that's essentially what you're funding your own bowl trip.
Except you're not heading to Birmingham or anything.
No.
You're heading over there. But yes, it's just an extra thing. I think it's more for the course, the current players that are there too. But it comes down to, for Nick, you brought up the 8-9 win games. You know, if you're winning those, that, you know, that's helpful, which of course it is. And, you know, and people won't bring up your record and how terrible you are if you're bringing that up. But if you're winning 8 or 9 games, though, I still don't think Arkansas is bringing in 5-star athletes, even if you're winning 10 or 11. I don't think they're bringing in those elite blue chip players on the regular, because that's something like that would send them over the edge to be able to do that.
If you're winning 10 or 11 and we're saying 5-star athletes, I consider the top 100 players, quote unquote, 5-stars.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
we'll
in football, if you're only doing 25 and then there's all these different teams, all these different schools.
I'm talking about game changing playmakers.
Right.
Yeah.
If they're winning 10 or 11 games and they're winning it in the style that Chad Morris is going to play, then yeah, they'll be able to bring in game changing kids. But they're never going to be able to recruit like Alabama and LSU and Florida. That's just not going to happen regardless how many times they go to Spain or Europe or whatever the case may be. I just don't think that this is the way to go about getting better kids. I think you need better coaches, and you need coaches that have recruiting ties and relationships. And really, you need a little luck. Even though Ole Miss was cheating at the time, Ole Miss, though, for some of their guys, like they went and hired somebody's uncle or cousin or something like that. Then they end up having a brother on the team that it just so happened his younger brother was the number one player in America. And you need a few of those things to happen. You need Darren McFadden's sons to grow up and be top 100 players. You need Felix Jones to have a cousin or a nephew. You need another Peyton Hillis. You need Tyler Wilson to have some kids. You need things like that to happen because you do need a little luck if you are Arkansas and you are trying to compete with everybody else in the country.
No.
And in saying that, there are a lot of teams out there. I just said Ole Miss. There are teams out there that get lucky, that have a nephew or a cousin or a brother or a friend that owes you a favor. There are a lot of teams out there that have that type of luck every single year, and those are the type of things that you need if you're here in Arkansas.
We'll bring this topic up later in the show because I think it's fascinating. I definitely want to get everyone's thoughts and opinions on it as well. 877-377-6963. Everyone's favorite segment of the show. Coming up next, this is The Morning Rush.
The voice of Razorback fans.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com. I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita Tuolaka Ogno Tuolapa Opono Mosesetovo Vahi Oho Vihokeo Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you today. Thank you for making us a part of your morning this morning. Joe Dean Davenport, former Arkansas Razorback football player, will be joining us around 7:30 to talk about the Burlsworth camps, as well as get into some Razorback talk. I'm going to be interested to see his take on Chad Morris and the direction of the football program. But in this segment, we're going to get to what's your beef. But before I do, I got to tell you about Williams Tractor and the Raptor Zero Turn Mower from Hustler that'll give you the perfectly manicured cut you want with the power, strength, and speed of a professional zero turn mower. You can quickly maneuver around obstacles with ease, which of course allows you to maneuver around life's most difficult obstacles. Time. Hustler Turf quality tools designed to improve quality of life. You can find the entire line of Hustler residential and commercial zero-turn mowers at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers. So it is What's Your Beef, and we have a few people tweeting us exactly what their beef is, and we'll get to those here in just a second. But I'm going to start things off with my beef, and Nick, we've talked about this, and Tommy, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I'm sure this is going to be such a hot take that everybody is so shocked and surprised by me saying this, but my beef is when the NBA games are on ESPN and not on TNT. I mean, I understand that that ESPN, it is the mothership. It is the, when you think of sports, you think of everything, think of broadcast. I think they do a great job in college football. I think they do a pretty good job on Monday Night Football. I think they do a good job of pretty much most sports. But when it comes to the NBA, it is not even close.
Well, but that's the... Is it that they don't do a good job or TNT just does so much of a better job?
I think it's a little bit of both. Now, I think TNT does a much better job because I don't think that there is a single, in any sport, a single studio crew that is more entertaining, that is more fun to watch, that is just more enjoyable than watching Kenny and Ernie and Shaq and Chuck.
Right.
I mean, it's just, even if you don't like basketball, you could watch it and just get a kick out of it. And even if you look about the broadcast crew, you got Marv Alberts, which is one of the all-time great announcers. He's normally calling games. I like Reggie Miller on the call, too. He adds a lot, and I know me and Nick, we don't really care for Chris Webber that much when he's calling games. But, I mean, it's just the whole package, and it just makes the game so much more enjoyable, even if you don't care about the teams that are playing. And on ESPN, like I said, they don't do a terrible job, but you're talking about your studio crew being, what, Michelle Beadle, Chauncey Billups, Paul Pierce, and Jalen Rose. Now, Chauncey and Paul Pierce, I mean, those are your biggest names that you're bringing in. I mean, no offense, but they're not the Hall of Fame type players like Charles Barkley and Shaq. And then adding into that, I'm not a huge fan of Jeff Van Gundy. You know, take him or leave him. I know you got Mark Jackson in there as well. It's just when I'm watching the NBA playoffs, especially, which I do enjoy doing, I almost get mad when I look on the guide and I'm like, are you kidding me? This game's going to be on ESPN, mm-hmm. which is so funny to think. But
you ain't
going to
like the finals either. Dude.
No, I'm not. I know I'm not. I'm just may have to listen to it on mute or something like that. But yeah, so that's my beef is when the NBA games are not on TNT, I just get mad. It's almost like I don't even care to watch the game as much when it's not on TNT.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I'm definitely always because I never look at where the game is going to be until I sit down in my recliner and I press the guide button and then I scroll and on Cox, ESPN and TNT are right there back to back. And if I scroll past ESPN and I see they have the NBA game,
upset. Western Conference is on TNT, Eastern Conference is on ESPN. The finals are going to be where? ABC/ESPN. So
yeah, I'm not happy about it, but it's just amazing to me though the quality difference on it
because you look at every spot. Mm-hmm. Marv Albert better than Mike Breen. You look at the analysts. The analysts are just that's in a matter of opinion,
right?
But I mean, the studio crew is not even close.
No. I mean you have Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. Even if those guys didn't have fun personalities, those are bigger names than Chauncey Billups.
And Ernie makes that whole thing work.
Oh, man. I mean, they just have a great chemistry with them all because, like you say, Ernie makes it – he kind of tries to keep the control of the chaos. Kenny, I think, is more of the – I don't even know what really Kenny's role is other than just kind of hanging out and making sure that, you know, maybe being the more serious one between – the three of them, and then Chuck and Shaq are just Chuck and Shaq, and, you know, taking jabs at each other, getting mad at each other, yelling at each other. They both have funny ways of talking, too, so it kind of, like, makes, because, you know, Shaq is really soft-spoken, and then Chuck is, of course, you know, with his, the stuff he says, too, so it's just funny.
That's the best part, because I can't tell you anything Shaq ever says, but...
Because of the way he talks. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And then especially during the year, whenever they talk about, or whenever he's doing... the Shaq and a fool and all that other stuff. And the players are getting mad. And so, yeah. I think it's I agree with you on that one.
Okay. What's your beef, Nick?
That was a really good one. Throughout the week, of course, I have a bunch of different beefs. And this is not to our good friend who brings us breakfast all the time in the morning. But.
Don't kill the goose that lays the golden
eggs.
That's
right.
When officers, and I understand that the speed limit, if it says 70, you're supposed to go 70. But come on, don't pull me over for going 77 or 76. Because is it not like a gentleman's agreement that you can go 10 over and be okay?
Well, I was going to ask you.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, you can't go 10 over in a 40 or 10 over in a 30. Mm. But on the interstate, yeah, I think, you know. 9 over is kind of the, you know.
Right. And am I the only one who gets into the car and whatever speed limit that you see, you set your cruise control to 10 over because you know that you're okay. And here's another thing, too. My biggest beef is that our cars are not smart enough or we don't have the technology to, like, if you get behind me and you're a police officer, then can you, like, shoot something to run my plates and you see that I'm not a criminal? And, hey, listen, just keep letting me go and send me something in the mail telling me that
you're
I got a ticket.
You're just about the inconvenience
but,
of it
man,
all.
It is because they pull you over and it takes 30 minutes, especially me. But
because what is it if you run a toll booth or whatever that they just mail you?
They take a picture and
mail you a ticket.
Yeah, in which I was watching a comedian one day, and he said, yeah, and now they got these things out here, and they will mail you a ticket. He said, I dare somebody mail me a ticket. I'm going to take a picture of a $100 bill and mail it back to you. But just officers that pull you over for going six or seven over, and then they stop you, and then you have to do this whole thing, and it takes 30 minutes. That's just a big inconvenience. So if I'm going seven over, just let me continue to go past, and let's keep it moving.
So I'll look the other way while you're violating the law.
Well, no, especially because all they do is pull you over to say, yeah, we're going seven over. You need to slow down just a little bit, but I'm just going to give you a warning. And it's like, both of us knew you were going to give me a warning, so don't even stop me.
So basically, if you're listening now and you're a police officer, if you see Nick Mason driving down the road and he's speeding, do not inconvenience him. Just take a picture of his license plate and send him a ticket in the mail.
All you have to do, just flash your lights a little bit, and I'll slow down. And then at that point,
until they leave, and then you'll just speed right
back
up.
No, because then at that point, I'll be like, whew, God bless me, so I'm not going to speed the rest of this trip because I got away with one.
So there's your new PSA for Nick Mason. Just don't inconvenience him and pull him over.
Especially not going, if I'm going 7, 8, 9, 10 over. Now, maybe
have a heart.
14 or 15 over, but 7 through 10 and a half over, no.
Mm. Well, is it always that they say that if someone does get pulled over, it's like, oh, they got to make quota. It's at the end of the month. They got to make their quota for speeding tickets.
Well, Officer Breeden has made everybody's quota in Arkansas for the month, and he did that 2 days ago.
Yeah, 47 tickets written
for there should be no more tickets written in the River Valley because Officer Breeden made up for all you other officers out there that are slacking. Officer
Breeden
wrote tickets for you and him 2 days ago. So don't write anybody else a ticket this month if you're in the River Valley.
Perfect setup. All right, Tommy, what are you beefing with?
I'm still beefed over this whole stadium flap. I mean, the more you digest it, the more you think about it, the more you look at what you ended up making the decision to do to essentially play three games and three practices at War Memorial Stadium. For what? What do you get out of it? And I know this is a bit of old news, but I think there's still a lot of people out there that are scratching their head, shaking their head, trying to understand what the university has accomplished here, what the governor has accomplished here. What are we doing here playing three games over the next 6 years at War Memorial Stadium to extend this contract? When will this deal ever end? When will an administration ever step up and have the guts to say, we're not doing this anymore? It no longer makes sense. You continue to see the university and the system, and I don't think this is at the feet of the athletic director, probably not even at the feet of the chancellor. I think this goes beyond that.
Even bigger.
This is bigger and beyond that. But we continue to get in our own way and stand in our own way of success. And I know that, Chad Morris and Hunter Yurecek and Steinmetz and the powers, they got to say the right thing and they got to put on a good face because they got to keep all of their bosses happy. But this is still the dumbest thing we've ever done. Right up there at the top. One of the stupidest things ever, continuing this deal.
2024?
What do you get out of it? Well, 2023. But do you have any faith at all that in 2023, they're not going to announce, hey, we're going to do this again for another 6 years,
Depends on who the athletic director is.
And who the governor is.
I think if Jeff Long was here.
Still would have. Well,
no. Let me tell you,
if Brett Bielema had won about three or four more games over the last 3 years, this deal wouldn't be happening.
Yeah. I think that too. Because.
But I'm still trying to figure out how this benefits the University of Arkansas and the athletic department. That's my beef today. I just hate to see the powers that be that are making the decisions for we the fans and spending our money and our investment and our time. It's not their money. It's we the fans. We the people. And they are it's total mismanagement.
Correction, Tommy. A caller just called in and said this is not the dumbest thing that they've ever done. And the fact that you said that is the dumbest thing that you've ever said. He said because they did hire John L. Smith.
But it can be
next to that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if we wanted to make a list of dumb things off, that they've done. Yeah.
Well, no, it started off that I thought he's about to come with a point, but then he said they hired
John L. Smith. But no, and here's the thing, Tommy, you're going to keep having to search for a reason or reasoning behind it all. I mean, it's just.
Because guess what? I don't know that the Ole Miss game will be sold out this year. And unless you're winning 9 or 10 games in 2019, I don't think the Missouri game is going to reach 50,000 plus then. People have spoken. They don't want to go to that stadium. They don't want to see games there. But yet we keep dragging everybody down there for one more go.
Silent majority.
I'm telling you, if this had been on the ballot yesterday when we all went to the polls, it would not have passed.
You know what I mean? That's something we should
and
put on
maybe
the ballot.
That's how we should settle this as a
that's
state
right.
referendum. By God,
vote
let's just
it.
Vote on it as people of this state. Everybody in the state gets a vote.
And I'm going to go out there with my political signs in front of the voting booths. I'm going to hold them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm going to have a few messages for the people. You know, bring back Slobberhog, name the court after Nolan, and take games out of War Memorial.
I hate it. We see it in politics, and I think we're seeing it here. The people do not want this, but yet we're going to give it to them anyway. And that's pretty much what we've done. We see it all the time in Washington. Well, we're seeing a little smaller scale example here. Do you know anybody that wanted to continue playing games at War Memorial Stadium other than the governor and the people that sit on the War Memorial Stadium Commission? I don't.
I actually
you know any
do,
common
but,
fan
yeah.
that just, by God, that's it's ruining our program not playing at War Memorial Stadium.
No.
Okay.
Not to that extent.
Either be in or be out, because you can't play in one game every other year is just, no, it's worse than hiring John L. One game every other year, it's worse than that.
Tommy has spoken.
That's my beef.
There's his beef. That's a good one, though. That's a good one. And unfortunately, that'll probably be your beef up until 2023.
Might
too,
be so. Every week. We just keep bringing it up.
We're just
every week.
Keep bringing it up. You know, Nick has the PSA for no text and drive. Yeah. Tommy's going to have his PSA about War Memorial Stadium. 877-377-6963. This is The Morning Rush.
The most.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Call in to John and Tommy and get your voice heard. 877-377-6963. This is The Morning Rush.
Welcome back into The Morning Rush. Going to be joined by former Razorback Jodine Davenport here in just a second. But first, I got to tell you about 3-Day Wall Breaker.
Yeah, if you've been hitting the wall in the afternoon, you go to grab that coffee, that energy drink, that shot of caffeine or sugar that you need to power through the day. 3-Day Wall Breaker can get you away from all this stuff. An orange-flavored powder mix, perfect for everyday use. It helps with joint mobility, provides amino acids to support muscle recovery, but it's loaded with vitamin C, B12, glucosamine, so it makes you feel well throughout the day, particularly the afternoon, so you're no longer hitting the wall. So mid-afternoons, you're yawning, you're hitting the wall, you need something to get you to that 5 o'clock bell. 3-Day Wall Breaker is what you should be putting into your everyday routine. No stimulants, no sugars. It helps with mental focus. You also help with muscle soreness following a good workout as well. Available in 3-pack pouches or a 30-day serving jar. You can buy it only online at 3daywallbreaker.com. Try it for 3 days. You'll certainly feel a difference. 3-Day Wall Breaker, available at 3daywallbreaker.com.
Let's go to the phone lines as we are joined by former Arkansas Razorback tight end Jodine Davenport. Joe, really appreciate you joining us. How you doing this morning, man? Joe, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, how you doing, man?
Good. Great, can't complain.
All right, well, we obviously have been made aware and been telling the people about these Brandon Burlesworth football camp that's coming up in June. It looks like June 1st is going to be in Harrison, June 2nd in Little Rock of War Memorial Stadium. The former Razorback greats are going to be involved in it as well. Just give us a little synopsis of exactly what's going on with this camp, how people can get involved, where they need to go. Just give us some details on it.
Well, you know, it's the 17th year for it. I've been to every one since Marty has Brandon's brother started it. So, it's a day for the kids to come out and maybe get introduced to football, introductory level kind of camp to some of these kids that you know, in the Harrison area and the Little Rock area that might not have the opportunity to go to other camps. They can come to this one and get introduced and maybe meet some of the guys that's played with Brandon and guys that played a couple years ago, you know, some of the younger guys. And it's just a good time. And we kind of, you know, we work with the kids a little bit on some drills and different offense, defensive side of the ball, and then get them on the, you know, know, more specialty later in the day, and then have a little fun time at towards the end of the day with them, doing a little 7-on-7, which they all enjoy that.
Yeah, we'll give some details on the camp and how to get your kids signed up here coming up before we get out of here. When you saw the movie Greater, what was your first thought?
About as accurate portrayal of his life that you could get. I mean, it was just a great story, and how they portrayed it in the movie. Hit it spot on, and kind of showed how he led his life on and off the field.
So speaking with Jodine Davenport, former Razorback tight end, right now here on the Morning Rush. Jodine, a question that I know a lot of people have is they always like to know, where are they now with a lot of the former Razorbacks? Obviously, you were a great player for the Razorback football program, were part of one of the best seasons since Arkansas has had in quite some time. So you played a little bit in the NFL. So what's the life been like for Jodine Davenport the past 20 years?
Oh, well, I'm from Springdale. I bought a farm when I was up in the NFL at Indy, and come back to Tawnytown and sold that place, moved out a little further out west, south of Siloam, right there on the Arkansas-Oklahoma border, and I got my cows and got some, semis and just kind of doing the adult thing, which kind of sucks, but it's fun, So had to grow up, got a son, he's 11, taking care of him, and kind of showing him the ropes on the sports deal, so just kind of having fun at life. About it.
you were part of a transition, from the Danny Ford era into the Houston Nutt era. You're watching another transition. Some, since you've played up there, have went good. Some have not, went as smoothly. Right. How do you think this transition we're watching now, the one you were involved in, obviously started off with a bang in 1998. What do you think is, I'm not saying that this is going to be another 98 season coming up, but there's a lot of similarities between what went on with Danny Ford heading into Houston Nutt and what we're facing with Brett Bielema going into Chad Morris.
Yeah, we had a lot of upperclassmen. I was a junior when going into my junior year, and we had a lot of juniors going into their senior year, and we had a lot of leadership guys that took a hold, guys that wanted to be, Razorback, or got, that really fought and wanted to be a good team. We all were close knit. I mean, it's one of them things that it's hard to explain, just because you could see it coming, kind of when we heard Danny Ford got fired. We all met Coach Broyles, brought us all together and kind of told us what to do, and those older guys, they're a year older than me, that's when the senior leadership started right there, and those guys come together and we all followed. And when Houston got hired, he come in and introduced himself, and we kind of told him, hey, here's what we want to do, help us do this, and that's what we did in 98. We started off and nobody really gave us a shot because of the transition from Danny to Houston, but we believed in ourselves and we knew we could do it, and we done it.
Jodine, I know you still keep up with the Razorbacks. Just what are your thoughts on Chad Morris, the direction? Obviously, the job that Brett Bielema did didn't work out as what was planned for a lot of people. But Chad Morris, a lot of people are really excited, especially about his style of football. What's just your overall take on Chad Morris in the direction of the program?
Well, we'll have to see. I do like his style of football. I mean, it's going to be a fun and exciting times down there on the hill, and it's going to be fun to watch. And these guys that are there, I think, excited and hungry to showcase that kind of football. The throw the ball and score some points, and everybody's going to do well. And if they can, it's going to be in how they handle it this off season. In this summer right now, whenever school starts and these guys you know, have to work out on their own for a little bit, that's, you know, that's when, and that's how we did in 98. Everybody showed up in the off-season workouts. And if these guys show up and do what he wants done, it's gonna show on the football field.
Joni, the tight end position has been one that's been very integral to the Arkansas offense under a couple different leaderships, a couple different head coaches. Arkansas's had a very good run of very successful tight ends. There's terrible news about Hunter Henry and his injury in OTAs, but he's probably been the shining example over the last 10 or more years of maybe the best tight end. But there's been a lot of other good ones like DJ Williams and Gregg, and keep going down the list. Why do you think Arkansas has become, to some degree, you know, tight end you?
I don't know. That's what I was talking to some people the other day. You know, I kind of started, you know, and there's a couple guys before me, Kirk Botkin. You know, he played several years in the NFL. I mean, he's a deep snapper, but he was a good tight end. Mark Baker, the guy that was there when I was there. And I mean, there's just been, you know, a lot of them from Arkansas. I don't know if it's something in the water in the state or what, but, you know, a lot of these guys have, you know, just good athletes is kind of what I guess, you know, that's coming up there. Just kind of, you know, I like to think I kind of started all that, you know, being a two sport guy, you know, and them guys watching whenever they're growing up and coming and, hey, if he can play two sports up there, let me go up there and try and just kind of follow the leader kind of deal.
Jodine, before we let you get out of here, once again, just give us an idea of the Brandon Burlsworth football camp. Obviously, in June 1st going on in Harrison, June 2nd going on in Little Rock. Who's going to be there? How can people sign up? Just give all the information you can for the people who are interested
in
this.
Well, I think you probably go to his website, Brandon Burlsworth, and find out some information there. And I mean, they sign up people the day before, you know, in Harrison and Little Rock, and just bring the kids up and kick them out, and we'll take care of them 4 or 5 hours and wear them out for you.
And that's probably worth it right there for parents to be involved with, no doubt about it.
Shut up.
That's right. BrandonBurlsworth.org, or you can call 866-534-2875. Jodine Davenport, former Arkansas Razorback tight end. Great stuff, Jodine. Appreciate you joining us, man. Good luck with the camp, and hopefully we catch up with you later down the road.
Thank you, guys.
Anytime. No, fascinating stuff. And again, if you want to get involved, BrandonBurlsworth.org is where you can have the questions and how to register and all that. It's going to be a great, great event.
Yeah, great, great deal for the kids and a great organization that really provides a niche need with the glasses and helping kids that maybe their parents don't have the means or the wherewithal to get them the vision care that they need. Brandon Burlsworth Foundation has kind of stepped in and filled a void a lot of people don't think about.
Mm-hmm. And that's another great thing that they do. Business and individuals, they also sponsor children. So if there's the kids that can't afford it, they make it to where some kids who can't afford it end up going anyways. 877-377-6963. Got to tell you, though, first about Gaston's before we take a commercial break.
Yeah, I want to tell you about Gaston's White River Resort with Memorial Day weekend just a few days away. You might want to be thinking about that last-minute trip. Still time to book a trip at Gaston's White River Resort, 870-431-5202. They got plenty of great guides to take you out on the White River where the Browns have been biting in a big way. So if you're looking to go and have maybe an epic weekend of fishing, you know, to get that picture that you can put on Twitter, on Facebook, that's going to make all of your friends jealous, that's the kind of fish that have been biting right now at Gaston's. And you're going to have a great time. Pools getting opened up. All the cabins, you know, have a great view of the river, so it's great for the whole family. There's nature trails to enjoy and walk, and if you want to take a jog, there's a great place to do that. There's a great place to see some animals and birds and things they've got right there on site, kids' playgrounds. There's just something for everyone at Gaston's. 870-431-5202, and be sure and ask about guided fishing trips with their experienced guides, many with over 30 years' experience on the White River. 870-431-5202 for Gaston's White River Resort. Gaston's, a first-class time.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.